Hey, we're back. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Guess what? We are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yeah, so it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. 90 Day Fiancé recap. What season is this? Season 9?
Season 9. And this will be episode 13.
Yeah, Lucky season 9, episode 13. Lucky number 13.
You know, interesting stuff happening in this episode, and I'm really excited for next week's, but we got to cover this one first. Patrick, Thais, and John, let's just start there, because John is back, and John is giving his opinion, and, you know, I sometimes wonder, is he just trying his best to sabotage this relationship sometimes?
No, I think John gave great advice this time. I mean, this is, you know, this the concept of this show is so dumb, but I think that John gave some good advice to Patrick. Now,
in which part? Because I may agree with you on one, but not on the rest of it.
About the father thing, and about that's telling the only her one how I he agree feels, on. And about telling Thais like how he's feeling stressed about playing the wedding, all the money, and all that stuff. Like he should communicate that to her. Yeah. I agree with that 100%. You know, but what I don't get is. Because I kind of agree with Patrick. Like, how can Thais help? Like, what can she do? She has no money. She doesn't really know English well. She can't call all these venues and get stuff set up. It's like, what can she really do?
She can help make decisions. What kind of question is that? That is so 1930s of you, Patrick, and John. I mean, seriously, she can help make decisions as to what. Like she said with the makeup artist. She's like, hey, well, let me talk to them first. Oh, 10 minutes later, it's already done. No, you can't do that. This is how you allow her to help, by having decisions in it. And that's, I get where she's coming from, that it comes off as controlling. And even he admitted, I can see it. Sometimes it feels like I'm controlling it. I don't want to do it. Then stop doing it. It's easy.
Well, he has to also stop bringing up the fact that I'm having to pay for everything because you knew that.
Oh, I was so sick of hearing that on today's episode from him and from everybody else on the show.
Like, yeah, from all of them.
We know that. You knew this.
You signed up for that. So
what? If not, you should have done 90 Day Fiancé the other way and gone to their country.
See, that is the thing. It's because I keep saying it. They're treating all these people that are coming from these other countries like they're idiots. And they're not.
Well, you know, one of these days, you'll go down this rabbit hole since you have Discovery Plus and check out The Other Way and see how the Americans handle being overseas.
Woo! No, I won't. No, I won't. I won't check that out at all.
You know, one thing I did like, though, from this throuple here was when Thais went out with her friends. Now, notice she did say that was one of the women, which is the one that doesn't speak any Brazilian.
Portuguese.
Yeah, that doesn't speak any Portuguese. That's not Brazilian. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just didn't want people to hit you in the comments.
Oh, they already did anyway. Got them.
Yeah.
Typical black man don't know how to say it properly. You got to go back to last week's comments to see what happened on Married at First Sight. You'll get it. Anyway, let's get back to this. That's you know. But her friends, now notice, this is the friend that she got when they had that party that John threw. Right. So she should be thanking John for this friend, right? Like, hey, John, thanks for inviting these people over because I actually got to make a friend out of it. Been out a couple times. Met somebody else from Brazil who's obviously been here a lot longer and speaks with a much more American accent. But what I liked about what she did, too, was she was translating for times when Thais couldn't translate to English and she spoke in Portuguese, then this friend would also translate. But her friends were also right. And I like the fact that they said to her, no, you need to tell your dad. And when the American girl was like, yes, because in America, you have to tell your dad. And she was like, yeah, in Brazil, too.
Well, and I think Thais needs to be honest and tell Patrick, hey, my dad doesn't like you. Mm-hmm. Here's what it is. It is what it is. My dad doesn't like you. So that's why I've not told him.
Yeah.
What's the worst that'll come out of that?
It's not like he's going to go, well, if your dad doesn't like me, I can't marry you. No, it at least lets him know to tell the dad, like, hey, I know what you think. And I know what we've seen. And we see people brag about it and do it. But that's not me. I'm not that person. And if she gives him the chance, and that's where Thais loses me every single time, is the fact that she lied about it. And then she still refuses to just include her dad. If you're so close with your dad, you got to tell him. And if this is the man you're going to marry, you got to tell him the truth about how the dad feels. People, it's better to know somebody doesn't like you than to think they do and come to find out they really don't.
Right. Exactly. I'd want to know. If I'm going to marry somebody, your parents don't like me, okay. At least I know. I don't want to like be thinking everything is good. I'd rather know. So I'm glad that they told her that she's decided to tell her dad, but I'm curious if next week she actually tells Patrick, hey, BT Dubs, my dad doesn't like you. Hi, Dad.
I think you'll find out on that call. And you're right, you got to know if the new in-laws are going to like you or not, because therefore you have to make a decision about, well, so-and-so wants to move in because they have no place to go. No, they don't like me. They only just stay underneath my roof.
If you don't like me, you don't like my house. You don't like the rooms I have in my house.
Exactly. So, no, you don't like the AC I have blowing in my house.
Yeah. Yeah, go find one of those people that you do like.
As we go to Emily and Kobe. Oh, my God. Emily's so irritating to me, man. I mean, the fact that on the car ride there, she tried to blame Kobe for her period being late. Like, it's... I still blame him, though. It's also his fault for listening to her and not pulling out. I wouldn't trust anything Emily says. Anything.
Okay, but in Kobe's defense, what if sometimes it's just too good?
It's not just that it was too good. She said to him, I'm not ovulating right now. You can come in me.
What if she was on top and he just couldn't buck her off because she's a sturdy girl? You know, so maybe he just couldn't buck her.
Have you ever been in a situation where a woman's there, she just won't, she's on top, but she won't let you go? Like, I'm about, no, and snap on, and it's like, wait a minute, what are you trying to do here? Hold up.
Yeah, I have. It's awesome. Well, so here's what I said about them. A, they're both dumb about birth control. A,
yeah.
They're both idiots on that. But Emily's decisions that she makes just shows how immature she is. You know, from everything that she does with getting the ring, you know, all the different stuff. And then, like, let's not tell my parents until I start showing. Like, that's something that you say that you got pregnant in high school.
Right.
You know, she's just dumb. And then to keep bringing up the fact that, you know, the pressure's on me because I have to make the money. Stop throwing that in this man's face.
The man just explained to you why it's going to be uncomfortable living in the house with your dad, who told you the one thing I ask is you don't get pregnant, because the daddy obviously knew. I mean, he knows his daughter, knows what she's capable of, right? And he's like, just don't do this. He's living in his house. He already knows this. We got to move up from the house. This is an independent man. This is a very independent man from a very independent culture, a very masculine culture.
Yep.
And what do? You try your best to emasculate him every chance you get by, because the pressure's all on me to go find more nanny work so I can watch more kids, so we can have a dollar or two and I can buy my own ring.
Yeah, I've said it before, and, you know, people can hit me up in the comments. She's not cute enough to put up with that bullshit.
At all.
I'm sorry. At all. You know, there's some guys will put up with certain stuff. Just depends. But no, let's take care of the baby. Pay child support. Find me someone else in the U.S.
Even in the China days, she wasn't that damn fine that she deserved.
True. But in the China days, maybe she wasn't like this.
Well, yeah, because it's, and we'll see this as we get to some others later, which is the fact of it's very different when you're not home. And when they get comfortable at home, then all of a sudden it becomes a completely different story. As we move to Kansas City, Missouri, Bilal and Shaida, and I thought this was actually pretty good at first, because it felt like Bilal sided with her and said the prenup talk should be between him and Shaida, and Shaida should not be involved. It's none of her business. Quite forgetting that he actually gave her this business anyway from the very beginning.
Yeah. As I look on my notes here, I think Shai exaggerated the conversation she had with...
No, she didn't.
...the ex.
No, she didn't.
She didn't come at her all mad and yelling. She was just being very direct. But she wasn't coming at her yelling and stuff like that. I mean, the way Shy made it seem like she came in, you know, came in all hot at her. And I just think that's a little bit of an exaggeration.
I don't think it is. I think, look, go back and look at it. And the way she's, the tone sets everything else. You don't have
very
to
direct.
Yell. You don't have to yell by getting louder. But what she was talking about, what she's referring to, is her tone. And her tone, and I'm not the only one that saw it.
Tone wasn't bad.
Her tone was very condescending, and she had no business. You're in my house. You even said that last week. You're in my house. Don't talk to me like that.
True, but I'm just saying she exaggerated a bit. It wasn't like she came at a Chris. She was very direct. Now, she overstepped. Anything about that prenup, she shouldn't be in the conversation with her at all. That shouldn't happen, right? So I agree with that, but I don't think that she like yelled at her. She just had a very direct tone. Sometimes a woman could be direct, and she's not yelling or coming at you.
I
she's
don't being very think direct. She even, I don't remember her saying yell, but and she definitely didn't
yell. The way
yell.
She's described it to Bilal is like she was coming at her that way, and I'm like, no, she wasn't. She's
but see, you made it another thing of saying yelling, but it's not, she didn't say yelling. And maybe if she said yelling, I take that back. But from I don't remember her saying that she yelled at her. She just said she came at her aggressively. Now,
I don't think it was aggressive.
Who are we to say that a woman is aggressive?
Yeah, I don't think she was coming at
I'm
her.
I'm sorry, aggressive. I read all the comments. I'm sorry.
I just think she was very direct. But I agree with Shy on this whole prenup deal, because I totally see her point, and that's what I don't understand about Bilal. You're going to marry this woman mm-hmm. that you've been in communication with for over 2 years, and you still don't trust her. She has to get rid of everything and move here. Mm-hmm. She can't work until y'all mm-hmm. get married. And so you are kind of not, there needs to be something in there that protects her as well. So I'm glad that she's going to get another lawyer to look at it. But I think there needs to be some protection in there for her in the contract. If that's what we're going to call it, then put some protections for her in the contract, not just protect Bilal and his kids. But I still don't understand that. It still seems like, and again, maybe the producer's making it this way, it seems like Bilal thinks that she's gold digger of some kind and only out for what he wants. Like, he's been doing this from the very beginning. So I'm like, how have y'all been talking all this time and you feel that way? And then he's asking, are you going to cheat on me? You know, are you going to divorce me? Well, all this does, this just protects me if you do. I'm like, who's hurt you that much?
Well, he said every woman that he's ever cared about has hurt him. But the other thing about, and notice, Shahida did say his wife left him. It's not that he left mm-hmm. her. She left him. So there's a reason for that, right? But here's the other thing. He's bringing her over on a K-1 visa. So he's going to be responsible for 10 years regardless. As we looked this up a couple weeks ago, for 10 years, he's going to be responsible for her. But I'm glad she took your advice. And is going to have a lawyer look at it. Because the lawyer needs to go ahead, look at it, make sure that he doesn't try to, you know, counter that 10 years that he's supposed to be responsible for anyway. And yeah, after 10 years, then guess what? If you've been married for 10 years, you do owe her something. And it's not like, and maybe, again, we don't know what's in the prenup. It could be that you get this much and not half of everything I have, right?
Right. Don't know. But I think she needs to have something in there that protects her. And they've still not settled the kid issue. If he's got to, because she originally asked him to put a clause in about having kids. She still wants to have a child. And so mm-hmm. they still have to cross that bridge. I personally don't see them. I think this is a waste. They shouldn't even be going forward with this if Bilal is this way. And yeah, I think she should just go on back to Trinidad. Did you, I say
you,
it right?
You know how them Did alpha men right? are. You know how them alpha men are. I know that was not good. You know, Rapid City, South Dakota, Jabria, Miona, and Miona goes, well, first of all, Jabri sages the house. then Miona comes out to go speak to Mahala, and she speaks to her. And the first thing that comes to mind is she goes, well, you know, since it's on such short notice, we can't get a deal, so we won't be able to make it. Really? Come on. If you really wanted to, you could. And I'm not understanding what the parents are upset about in the first place, because they want them to just wait, send her back home, and, oh, they get married at a later time. You'll get married in a year. She said, I'll compromise. And they called it no compromise at all. She said, I'll compromise. We'll do a smaller wedding. We'll do the big wedding that I want, my dream wedding, a year from now. That's compromise.
That is. Well, Mahala, I mean, she acts like her and her husband work at the Burger King in the Las Vegas airport. You know, they just can't,
they can't miss a day.
Can't miss a day. You know, so just because it's out of state, oh, well, you know, we can't get there. That's ridiculous. Just say you don't support it. You don't want to go. And that's totally fine if you want to be honest and say that. But I disagree with that. Sometimes you got to let your kids do things that you don't agree with, but still support them. Now, here's the problem. Jabri is not 21 years old. Jabri is grown.
Yeah, he's 28. And
yeah, he's grown. Let him make this decision. Now, the parents, it's hard for them to look at him that way because he's living in their house, doesn't have a car, doesn't have a pot to piss in, a window to throw out of. So
take it back.
I don't look at anybody that's 28 years old and with their parents' house that's able-bodied. I don't look at them with any type of respect. I'm like, you're freaking ridiculous. But, and you want to get married and you still don't have anything and you're going to bring another woman into it. Ridiculous. But I applaud Miona for stepping up to the mom and just, hey, here's the deal. We're going to do this. I'd love for you to be a part of it. I thought Jabri said, well, I'm not going to speak for Jabri.
Yeah,
but here's what we've decided. I'm just like, you go, girl. I liked it.
See, now she got to change your perspective on her, didn't she?
Well, I just respect the fact that she did it because so many of these people in these shows, they seem to be scared to talk to the American parents and speak up and say something. I'm like, I respect the fact that she did that.
And rightfully so, the mom was being as hard as she wanted to be. And well, the last thing I remember is that he said that he wasn't sure if he wanted to marry you. Now, you know that boy's whipped. You know that boy's whipped. That boy never had nothing look that good, and he don't know what to do with it. Okay? You seen what he brought home from South Dakota before. Ain't nothing that look like that.
No.
They don't grow them like that in South Dakota. And I ain't never been. I could tell you right now.
Just from a quick internet search, don't see anything like that in South Dakota.
Oh, my God.
Even Miss South Dakota don't look that damn good.
Thank God we have no listeners in South Dakota. Albuquerque, New Mexico, even Muhammad. And, you know, I was with Muhammad for a while last week, you know, because the fact that he wants to get out and work. And maybe Eve could take a lesson from the younger Miona here, who's only 23, while Eve is 48, and do the quick wedding and then do the dream wedding later. It's okay to have the dream wedding later.
I am pro Muhammad on this one. All about it. Because, A, he wants to work.
Yes.
He needs to get the paperwork done. So, yes, we could easily just get married. We could still do this big thing in this castle that you want.
Yep.
But if we get married real quick, the paperwork process can get started. That's all he's pushing for.
That's it.
And she's like making this seem like this big deal. And then she keeps bringing up that, you know, I got to take care of you. I got to take care of Theron. It's like, you knew what you had to do from the beginning. And Muhammad has been consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get married in a mosque. I'm Muslim. I want you to be Muslim. If we have a kid, the kid's going to be Muslim. Like, he's just telling her, just like this. She's making the biggest mistake I think women make in relationships. She's trying to change a man. If your man is telling you who he is and what he's about, the wedding and the ring is not going to make him change. So,
at all.
Yeah. So this is doomed. I hope Muhammad winds up going back to Egypt to go be with his mama. And I hope he does, because this is not going to work out.
It's not. I mean, and you see it, the fact that he sends her the text about, I'll tell you what, I'll just get another sponsor since you don't want to do paperwork. And she's like, that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Yeah.
And flashback to that commercial. But I get his frustration because he's like, I come from a male dominant society and culture where the man does everything. And you've got me here waiting on your kid, babysitting your kid while you go out and work, and I'm stuck here. And you go out dressed however you want, and I'm stuck here. And I just want to be able to work. I want to have some self-worth about myself. It's going to be at least 6 months after we get married, but you want to delay this marriage even more. I trust me, I totally get where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But the fact, I think he stepped out of bounds and stepped out of line when he said he was just Going to go get another sponsor. Look, just get me my green card. Now you already know. Come on, Muhammad. I know you got internet over there. you know that's the perception already. Everybody wants a green card. That's the perception. Whether it's a reality or not. Because he's quick to say, I'll go back to Egypt. But if they keep up at this rate, he's not going to have a choice. He's going to have to go back anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And like even her, just all that crying. But at least she's a pretty crier. She's not like other people that we've seen in reality shows. She's a pretty crier, at least. But yeah, I still agree with him. He just wants to get everything done so he can work. Mm-hmm. And you can't keep throwing in his face, I got to take care of you, and I'm paying for all this, because that's going to make him feel even worse. And she doesn't get that. And she's like, what about me? And what about my... He's not saying, let's not do the wedding in the castle. He's saying, let's just hurry and get married, and we can get the paperwork started. And then if you want to do this big thing in front of all your friends, great.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, you got to understand, of course you're paying for everything. That's what happens when you adopt a kid. You pay for that kid.
She's been watching too many of those commercials for 99 cents a day.
It's a lot more expensive than I thought. Yeah. Damn. Speaking of somebody else who was constantly trying to throw... I'm paying for everything into the face. And also bringing up another theme that we saw earlier with Patrick and Thais, the controlling. We're talking about Cara and Guillermo. You know, a lot of questions she was asking him at first, because he kind of got upset that she was asking him all this stuff of, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? A lot of those things, I'm like, eh, whatever. Until she asked to read his vows. Are you... Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not supposed to hear the vows, read the vows, or see the vows until you're at the altar and you're exchanging vows, right? That's what it's about. But she wants to make sure it's, I want to make sure it's translated properly. Let that man handle his responsibility.
Yeah, because I was worried about that. I'm like, are you trying to print them and pass them out to people? Like I don't understand. Like, why does it have to be in English and in Spanish?
Because he'll say it now, in Spanish and then and repeat it in English.
Yeah, but even if he messed it up in English, who cares?
Exactly. That's not his first language.
Do you think anyone at your wedding is like the grammar police? They're going to be like, boo. Boo, you said it wrong.
It's Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. Yeah. I heard you spell Y-O-U-R. Yeah.
It's T-H-E-I-R, sir. Yeah, get your stuff. We're getting out of here. This wedding's bullshit.
No one's going to care. Stay for the reception.
Yeah, no one's going to care. But it was the way she was asking him questions. Yeah. Did you get your suit? Did you try it on? Are you going to have all of your suit together? Pants, shirt? It's like talking to a kid. Did you take a shower? Yes. Did you use soap?
Did you wash behind your ears?
Yeah. Did you wash behind your ears? Bring me your toothbrush. Let me see if it's wet. I want to know if you brush your teeth. It's just... The way she's talking to him, and I think that's what he's referring to, but let's go to this barber. So I've been seeing the same barber for 5+ years. Mm-hmm. Go every Saturday. Mm-hmm. Guillermo shared more with that barber than I have in 5 years with my own barber.
Yeah, he gave up all the goods.
Yeah, I'm just like... Dang, Guillermo, you don't keep anything close to the vest? And how's this barber all of a sudden have you second guessing? You know, yeah, I was married. Lasted 7 years. I'm divorced. So let me tell you what you need.
No, I think she said she got married 7 years ago. She's still married, I think.
No, they're divorced.
Is that what she said? She was divorced? I thought I heard her say that they got married 7 years ago.
No, they got married, lasted 7 years, and now divorced.
He
said, can you give me some advice? I'm like, A... Probably not the person you want to get advice from. Like, you just met me. I'm cutting hair. Yeah, I was married before, but lasted 7 years, got divorced. Oh, well, then can you give me some advice? No. No, I can't give you any advice. And don't just ask strangers. And don't let a stranger's opinion all of a sudden make you have doubts. But Jeremy needs to man up and tell Kara what he's feeling, which he did. Now, the thing is, Kara is not going to change. Kara is Kara, and that's her personality. But I think Jeremy likes it.
Well,
this is just the producers trying to make some fun, but I think he likes that type A alpha female boss bitch mentality.
Well, Kara's going to make sure that he doesn't go back to another black woman again ever, because this barber put the battery in his back. And she gave him good advice, though. Regardless of whether a stranger or not, she gave good advice. She did say, the ring isn't going to make her change. Right. You think, he says, I hope this changes once we get married. You get married in 2 days? Yeah, that ain't going to happen. It's going to be the same thing.
Right.
But and the fact that I like that Guillermo brought it up. They had that dinner, their last single dinner. And I like the fact that Guillermo, as he's done from the very beginning, facing it all head on, right? And he's facing it head on. But her reaction, Jesus Christ. Girl,
like a child.
That's exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, like a child. Really? So when did you feel disrespected? Just her whole body language. She was not listening to understand. She was trying to listen to be right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, that's what you're going to get with her. Now, what I wish Guillermo would have did was express what he was feeling in Spanish. Because his English, it's a little choppy. Maybe it could get missed in what he's trying to say. So I just wish he would express himself fully in Spanish. That way she's like, okay, I get it. And gets
she wouldn't have. She wouldn't have.
Maybe. Throwing it out there.
It's all about her. I mean, you saw the way that she threw a temper tantrum. Well, come on, let's go. Why are you still sitting down? I mean, like, who the hell are you talking to? First of all, no. You know, that's exactly what it is. She wanted him because she thought that he liked her to be exactly herself the whole time. But he explained to her. He said, I proposed to you in Dominican Republic. We were in vacation mode. At least you were. And you were not this person that you are now. This person that I'm here with now in Charlottesville, in your home, is not the person I met and proposed to in the Dominican Republic. That's all he was saying. And he's saying is, ease up on the control. I'm a man, and you got to let me be a man.
Well, but we've talked about this. He can't be a man until he can start working and providing. Because you lose, you don't have financial power. So then he can't be the man at all. So she's going to be doing that until all of a sudden he starts to make his own money. But I do agree with Kara when she said, I was this way when you proposed to me a year ago. At that point, you should have thought about that because this is who I am. And I agree with that.
But he said that's not who she was. Who she is in Charlottesville is not who she was in Dominican Republic. There's a difference.
Because in the DR, he could work. He was contributing. He had his own stuff. He doesn't have jack squat in Charlottesville. So she has her own run everything. And so because of that, she's going to make all decisions. You and I think, would do the exact same thing. We're in that situation. If we had a partner that they can't work, they can't do anything, well, we're going to be making all the decisions. So we're just going to run with it and make things happen because that's who our mentalities are like. So what does he expect until he can provide? He's always going to be looked at as
all jacked up. Because
it is, but that's what happens. No, you have no money. You can't work. All you're doing is at home.
That's like saying I make more than you, so my decisions weigh more than yours.
I didn't say make more. No, you're making nothing. You can't work. You can't bring anything to the table. But I know that.
But here's the point I'm making. When you get married, it's not about who is bringing in the money that makes the decisions. It's two people becoming one.
I understand that.
Everything's a decision that has to be made together. It's not about, I used to do this before when I was single, so I'm just going to do it again. That's not how this works. But that's how you get divorced. That's not how this works.
I understand that. But you have Guillermo coming from a Latin country where the men are men, right? So, yes, in theory, we're married, we're a team, and we all make decisions together. But the reality here in America is you're not working. All you do is eat, sleep, and shit. That's all you can do until legally you can go get a job. So until he can bring in some money, Kara is not going to view him that way. She's not going to view him as the head of this household and he's the man. She's not.
Well, you really think she's going to give up control? Because even when he can work, he's not going to be making more than her. She's not going to view him any different than that. Here's the thing. You can't go.
She's not making a ton. I mean, she's, you know, she does the balloon deal and she's trying to get into real estate. She's not balling just yet. But Guillermo could get a job, but until he's able to start bringing something in, she is going to treat him that way.
Yeah, and I'm with him. I don't know if I want to marry if that's the way you're going to act, because you know what? That power dynamic can't remain that way. And I get what you're saying but you knew that coming in. And if you're going to treat somebody as a less than, then you don't need to make them a partner. You don't need to make them a spouse. You don't. You. That's not what you need. You want a child. You want a pet. You go get that. Because you can't just. That's the same thing with Patrick and Thais. It's like, you can't make all the decisions. Yes, it's your money, but it's no. Guess what? It becomes ours. Once you say, right. I do, it's no longer yours and mine. It's ours. And right. and the mentality just only shows that they're not ready. And right. Kara's definitely not ready because she's such a friggin' child. Just, oh, right. Come on. Well, let's go. Well, since you want to feel like that. I mean, grow up. You're supposed. You're talking about you robbing the cradle, but you're the one acting like the baby.
Well, it's true. You know, she does have some, you know, maturity issues as well. But, you know, again, this is what you signed up for. But you that power dynamic that is in your Patrick's, Kira's, Eve, Emily, it's like all of them. Ooh. They have this power dynamic because the other person can't bring in money. And so that's what the only person that's not getting treated that way is Miona.
Yeah. That's because
Jabri and Miona, that's the only couple I see that are not having that dynamic. But everyone else keeps bringing up the fact that, well, you can't work and it's all on me and I got to do this. Yeah, that's what you signed up for.
That's because Miona is the one that's coming in. And Jabri can't really say that because he's not working. So he can't make that claim. And besides, Miona's got him whipped anyway. So that's why. But let's be real. As we pointed out before, you got this mentality, and it's mostly the women, but then Patrick falls right in there. So, I mean, I can't even say it's just the women having this control over these men from these other countries.
Bilal. Bilal, same way.
Yep. No, Bilal. Bilal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bilal's just an ass anyway, so.
Hey.
I can label him a couple other things.
All my friends aren't alphas, and all alphas are not my friends. So, ooh. You know, is what it is.
But alpha begins with A, and so does...
Asshole. Some of us are. Some of us are. You're right.
Hey, don't forget we review 90 Day Fiancé every Sunday and Wednesday. We're back for season 15, episode 2, Married at First Sight. And hopefully we get through all the weddings this Wednesday.
Oh, God, please. 3 hours. 3 hours.
It's going to be an interesting one, too, because I'll be on the road. Next Monday when we drop an episode, it's going to be a journal. Probably won't drop till Tuesday, to be quite honest. Need some time to put it together. But we'll do the regular guys' random thoughts journal for episode 93. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us, man. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you found on the internet. We'll talk about it on a regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.